My name is Sam Carter, and I'm a seventh grader at Princeton Middle School.
Hi, my name is Nico Barreto, and I'm an eighth grader at Princeton Middle School.
Hello, my name is Luke Young, and I am in eighth grade, and I go to the Wilberforce School. Scripture reading for today is from Acts chapter 5, verses 16 through 29. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then the high priest took action, he and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and said, "Go, stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life." When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching.
When the high priest and those with him arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of the elders of Israel and sent the prison to have them brought. But when the temple police went there, they did not find them in prison. So they returned and reported, "We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." Now, when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were perplexed about them, wondering what might be going on. Then someone arrived and announced, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people." Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people.
When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority." Amen.
Good morning. Shortly after Jesus' ascension into heaven, the life of the apostles was not a smooth road. Right after Jesus' death, they stayed in hiding for fear of persecution. Despite this fear, they continued to spread the word of God and were subsequently arrested for it. Because of their righteousness, the religious leaders could not see the miracles happening in front of them. Reading the story, I am reminded that sometimes I have to look beyond my own perceptions to see the works of God. Then the high priest took action. He and all who were with him, that is, the sect of the Sadducees, being filled with jealousy, arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. Jealousy is an interesting word. Its origin can be traced back to the French jealous or jealousy, as well as the Latin zelosus and the Greek zelos. Throughout the New Testament, it can be translated as zealous, envy, or desire. In fact, the Greek zelos can also mean to boil, maybe to boil with anger or desire. Today, I will talk about the importance of being able to look beyond what you think and feel in order to see the bigger picture. But first, I want to give a bit of context for today's scripture reading, because what comes before is important. The five verses before the start of the reading are about the apostles' great works that took place in Solomon's portico on the east side of the temple in Jerusalem. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, great numbers of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. A great number of people would also gather from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. I'm sure the religious authorities believed that arresting the apostles was the right thing to do. We also know that they did feel threatened by Jesus' increasing prevalence. He stirred up ancient doctrines that people had always accepted, without question, and challenged the best minds at the time. So, while the apostles were not doing anything wrong by performing miracles, the high priest and the Sadducees felt resentful and therefore had them arrested. The men who were supposed to be leading the people, being religiously upright and filled with the Holy Spirit, were so blinded by envy and fear that they completely misread the situation. I understand the example from my life that I am about to give isn't exactly the best comparison, but I found some similarities, and perhaps we can still learn something from it. In New Jersey, the steps to getting a driver's license is a multi-year process. Once you turn 16, you can get a permit, but you have to wait another 2 years to get a basic license. For whatever reason, I wasn't really in a rush to get my permit right away. This means that by the time I turn 18, I will only have a probationary license, something that most of my friends graduated from a long time ago. Looking back on this decision, sometimes I regret not getting my permit at 16, because if I want to go somewhere, I need to find a ride with someone who can legally drive me to where I want to go. Seeing my friends get their own car or cars and gain independence from their parents, in this case, is hard. But I've heard from people that delaying the start of this process isn't necessarily a bad thing. It gives me more time to mature and develop the ability to extend some grace to people who really need to go and learn how to drive again. And, after all, it is only right to give grace to others, since God gives grace to us. To be completely honest, I mostly disagree. I feel like I could have learned these skill sets even if I started at the same age as my friends. But I understand and recognize where this idea comes from. There might be some truth to it, and I have to learn to look beyond my frustration and accept that there is some merit in waiting, even if I don't like it. I could choose to ignore this merit and continue to feel bothered and annoyed, but if I do that, I'm doing exactly what the Sadducees did, miss the bigger picture. Due to their human nature, the religious authorities who arrested the apostles lost sight of the amazing works of God happening in front of them. Jealousy, alongside pride and contempt, are emotions that are selfish. They all have a connection to the self, either looking down on others or wishing something good that the person doesn't have. And this is nothing new. It has always been a struggle since humans were created. We've always wanted to be bigger than God and have control over ourselves. The fall of Adam and Eve and the Tower of Babel are just two of many examples. God made you the way you are, emotions included, and we share this struggle together. So perhaps the next time you feel jealousy, pride, or contempt, it might be worth thinking about why you do. Carefully consider your next action, because you might be looking at God's way of shaping and fostering the person He wants you to be, and you do not want to miss it. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Isabel Millie. I'm a senior at Stewart Country Day School. Jesus makes the promise of baptism to come, telling the apostles, "This is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And he fulfills this promise first in Pentecost, where God reveals himself living within his people, then in granting a man the ability to walk, and now in Acts 5. It is fulfilled in sustaining the apostles as they cultivate God's church. After the apostles' arrest by the high priest and council of Jerusalem, the apostles are freed with the call that they return to the temple from which they had been barred and teach the people of the life through Jesus. The council of Jerusalem seemed not to react with anger upon the apostles' return to the temple, but rather with confusion, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, Yet here you are filled Jerusalem with your teaching. Knowing the threat of imprisonment, the apostles continued to follow the Spirit in sharing the work of God. The book of Acts calls us to accept the Holy Spirit as the guide to our lives, asking us to venture outside of silence or compliance and cross into noise. The world in which we live today thrives on complacency, admission in choosing convenience, negligence towards injustice. And yet, just as the apostles chose to follow the Holy Spirit away from silence, we too are called by the Holy Spirit away from silence. We are called to be God's witnesses and called to enact the teachings of Jesus so that we ourselves may lend to a salvation. For me, it has been this community that I see myself most able to find or take part in what I've come to understand as the Holy Spirit. This community offers a space where I have been encouraged to question, both as a means of inward reflection, but equally regarding the world outside of my mind and outside of Princeton. And while I deeply value this space to explore how I might perceive life, it's not this that brings me back to church each week. It's the people with whom I share in this exploration. Just as Peter remarked, it is a we that are witnesses. It is a we that join in fellowship to follow the Holy Spirit, whether that be to the community room, Appalachia Service Project, biking the gap, beyond Malibu, to Zay, or even Wawa. On my own, none of these events would have engraved themselves with such sincerity on who I am today. But because each of these events came with a group of friends so eager to expand our conversations and experiences beyond our daily encounters, it is and will be these experiences through Nassau I remember most about my high school years. And so I thank this church for providing a space for youth to congregate, to question, to navigate how each of us might challenge silences, and have the opportunity to do this in community.
Good morning. My name is Isabel Carter, and I am one of the youth preachers today. The apostles were arrested and brought to the public prison by those who were filled with hatred and jealousy towards them, this being the high priest along with the sect of the Sadducees. However, during the night, the apostles were freed by an angel of the Lord. The angel instructed the apostles to go and continue teaching the word of God despite the anger and hate that they had received from those who imprisoned them. So the apostles traveled back to the temple to continue their teaching. When the prison guards realized the apostles had been released from their cell, they notified the captain of the temple and the chief priests. The captain went with the temple police to detain the apostles, quietly and without violence, only because of their fear of judgment from the public. Once the apostles had been arrested, they were put on trial and asked why they continued to preach the word of the Lord when they had been clearly instructed not to. They responded by explaining how they obey God, not any mortal being, and how powerful God's love and forgiveness truly is. This story is so powerful to me in so many ways. This passage, they describe the apostles being released by an angel of God and being commanded to return to the temple to continue their teaching. Now, this could be interpreted as an actual angel of God in all of its glory with the light and the wings and everything coming down to free the apostles from their prison cell, or maybe a metaphor for the people of God, connected by God, rallying together to come and free the apostles in the middle of the night. Either way, the apostles were freed. I believe that all of us are trapped in our own prisons in one way or another. Maybe not a literal prison, but we are still stuck. We are all prisoners of our minds and our human desires. It's easy to allow ourselves to lead lives of sin, which in turn trap us deeper in cycles of guilt, regret, sorrow, anger, sadness, and it is not easy to break those cycles. And I think some of us never do. Back when I was 13, I hit a bit of a rough patch, that being becoming a teenage girl, as I'm sure many of you in this congregation have experienced. The confusing and frustrating feelings of hitting those teenage years. And I trapped myself in my own prison of my mind. I allowed myself to be confined by my fear of judgment and my anxiety. And for a while, I would not leave my room, as I'm sure many of you can relate to at one point in your life. I was scared to go outside, in fear of the judgment that I would receive for the way I dressed, the way I act, the way I looked, how much I weighed. I would spend so much time focusing on the little details of my face in my mirror, so much so that I forgot who I really was. This was extremely unhealthy and unsustainable, which I do realize now, but at the time it was so hard to break those cycles of guilt and sorrow and sadness. And the feelings of judgment and fear and anxiety, it was tough. But eventually, after a couple of years of feeling this way and losing my way from God, I decided that it was time for me to change something. So with support from my friends and from my family, I decided that I would try and turn back to God. And I am so grateful for everyone here who welcomed me back with open arms. Miss Ladendorf and the youth choir who allowed me to return. Mark, who welcomed me back to youth group, and Mr. Warner, who invited me to join the adult choir every Wednesday. And these simple acts of kindness and welcomeness really did changed my life for the better. Now, I still think, to some extent, I am a prisoner of my mind, and maybe we all are, and maybe we always will be. But this community of people that I have found again is so powerful and truly has helped me break these cycles of these negative emotions. And I think that going back to the angel of God who freed the apostles in the middle of the night, I believe that that was not maybe a literal angel of God, but the people who are connected by God and who follow the word of God. And I relate that back to my own life where the people of God, the community of God, has come and helped me free myself from the prison of my own mind. And I believe that we are all angels of God and that we can all rally together and help each other to free ourselves from our own prisons. Thank you.